So today I want to go through this dispute that Moshe and Aaron had after the death of Nadav and Avihu. But we have to begin by just trying to understand the facts here. What the avoda, what the ritual service was supposed to be on this eighth day when the Shechina, would come down to the Bnei Israel. And what actually happened? So, in the beginning of the parsha, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Bayom Hashmini was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe Aaron Zikne Yisrael. Moshe calls to Aaron and children to the elders. Vayomer Aaron, he tells Aaron, Kach lecha egel ben bakor lecha tas va'el ala tmimim. So you got to take a calf for a sin offering and an ola. Okay, so you have this a calf for a sin offering and a ram for an ola, and then well, Bnei Yisrael to the barley more, and for the Bnei Yisrael, so that seems to be like personal for Aaron. Aaron has this personal chatas and ola, and for the Bnei Yisrael, you have to take a sirizim, a goat for a chatas, and then an egel and a keves for an ola. So you have a calf and a sheep for an ola, okay, and a shor and ayal for a shlamim, and a mincha as well. Okay, so you have Aaron's two personal sacrifices, the chatas and the ola. And for the Bnei Yisrael communal sacrifices, you have chatas, two olas, two animals for the shlamim, and a korban mincha. So pasuk ches, Aaron takes slaughters his personal egel for the chatas for the sin offering, and then in pasuk yud beis vayishchar ha'ola, so he slaughters the ola, and he does all the rituals. So Aaron's done with the personal sacrifices. Now it's time in Pasuk Tezvav, Vayakrevis Korban Am, he brings the sacrifice to the people. Vayikach Seir HaChatas Shel'am, Vayishchateh V'chateh. So he slaughters the Seir for the Chatas, Vayakrevis Ola, he brings the Ola, and he Vayakrevis HaMincha, he brings the Mincha, and he does the Avodah there. Vayishchat Es HaShor V'Sa'ayel Zevach HaShlamim, he slaughters the shore and the isle for the Shlamim. Okay, so he does all these rituals. So then, in the next perek, Aaron's children they commit this sin. What the nature of the sin is, that's a whole discussion itself. And the fire comes out, perek yud, pasuk beis, the fire comes out and consumes them, and they die. Then Moshe tells Aaron in pasuk gimel. Okay, he tries to comfort Aaron. He says, this is what God said, be kravai kadesh, those who come close to me, I will be sanctified. Moshe in Pasuk Dal tells Mishal and El Tzafad to remove the bodies from the Mishkan to outside the camp. Okay? And then in Pasuk Vav, Moshe tells Aaron, Velazar Itamar Banav. So Moshe now tells the remaining Kohanim, Aaron Elazar Itamar. He says, "Rashechem al tifra'u, so don't let your hair grow wild, don't rip your garments, lo tamutu, so you don't die, right? You got it. He says, you got to continue doing the avoda. Valko don't engage in avelus now, because then God's gonna get angry at all the people. Yivku, your brethren." The Klal Yisrael will mourn, will cry those who were burnt. In other words, they will cry over the death of Nadav and Avihu, but that's not your job. When we Pesach O Amoid Lo Tetsu Pen Tamusu, don't leave the opening of the Mishkan lest you die. Kishem Mishkan Hashem Aleichem, because you're anointed. You got to do the avoda. Pesach Yud Beis, Moshe tells Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, Kuchu Es HaMincha HaNoseres Meishi Hashem Vichlu HaMatzos Esam Mizbeach Kikodesh Kodeshim Hi. So even though they brought the mincha in the previous chapter, but there's still what do you do with the mincha? You take a handful and you burn it on the mizbeach, and the rest of it the Kohanim eat it. It's holy food. So Moshe tells Aaron and his two remaining children, you got to eat the food. And then in Pasuk Yudal, Veschazia Tnufa Veshokat Truma Tochlub Makom Tahar, and also this is the breast of the and the thigh. From the shlamim, you have to eat as well. So they had slaughtered these animals, but now you have to eat these the kachim food. Now, Pasuk Tezayin, Vesira Chatas, now the Chata, the goat for the Chatas, Darosh Darash Moshe, Vihidei Sorav. Moshe, he saw that it was burnt. So this wasn't consumed. The Chatas needs to be burnt on the, some of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, and some is eaten by the Kohanim. Vayiksof al Azar Valley Tamar Bereran on Nosrim Lemor. Moshe gets angry. He gets angry with Elazar and Itamar, and he says, "Madu lo achaltem es hachatas b'mkom hakodesh? Why didn't you eat the korban chatas in the holy place, in the Mishkan area? Ki kodesh kodeshim hi, it's holy. V'osil nosan lochem l'seis avon oida, and you know this has been given to bear the sin of the people lachaper lehem to serve as kapara." The blood of the chatas was not brought. Right, what do? You slaughter the animal, you collect the blood, you sprinkle it, and then the Kohanim eat some of it. This didn't happen, right? You got to eat it. What's going on? So Aaron tells him, "Vaydaber Aaron al Moshe," and Moshe says, "Kasher tzivisi." Rashi says, "You should have eaten it like I was commanded, like I command you by the mincha." By the Korban Mincha, right, in other words, they ate the Mincha and the Shlamim, right? They ate the meat of the Shlamim. They ate the Chalos or the Matzos of the Korban Mincha. So Moshe's like, well, why don't you do the same thing with the Korban Chatas? And by the Pasuk Yotes, Aaron says to Moshe, "Heini hayom ikrivas chatasam es olosam lifnei Hashem." Right? Today, when they bring their Korban Chatas, their Ola, before God, vatikredo sikaela. V'chalti chatas hayom, and look what happened to me, like what happened today, and I'm going to eat the chatas today? Ayitab ed Hashem? Is this good in the eyes of God? V'yishma Moshe v'yitab ed Hashem. Moshe heard, and it was good in his eyes. Okay? So you have this dispute going on here, and Moshe's very upset at Aaron and his kids. By the way, he doesn't just ask the question. What does the Torah say? Vayik tzof. He got angry. Usually you don't like to lose control. You don't like to get angry. It's a bad thing. Moshe rarely gets angry. And Moshe gets angry here that they're not treating the Korban Chatas like the Korban Mincha and the Korban Shlamim. Moshe is so angry and he ends up being wrong. So I guess I want to ask two questions here. Question number one is, why does Aaron not consume the Chatas meat, but he's comfortable consuming the portions of the Mincha and the Shlamim? And also, what was Moshe thinking originally, and why did he change his mind? Okay? Those are the two questions I want to deal with. Well, any thoughts?
Well, he figured the show must go on, so it must go
right.
on.
See, right. And then, he realized what? The show must not go on. Okay. Maybe. Right. So okay, so let's try to let's try to differentiate between the Mincha Shlamim and the Chatas. So there's Gemara in Zvachim which says, he says that Kan b'Kadshei Sha, Kan b'Kadshei Doros. There's a difference between Kadshei Sha and Kadshei Doros. And Rashi in Masechet Zvachim says, V'Isa Rav Nechemia Dehutra Aninus b'Mincha Dichsiv Kichein Tzivesi. So Moshe was commanded that Aaron and his children should eat the Korban Mincha, even though they were Onanim, they just lost their brother, their son, because Vafilu Hachi Bisar Shal Rosh Chodesh, however, the Sire of Rosh Chodesh, Hoda L'Divrei Aaron, Moshe admitted to Aaron. By the way, Rashi understands that this Seir Chatas was not actually mentioned in the previous Perek in Shemini. It was actually it was Rosh Chodesh. So it was a regular Seir Chatas, the regular goat that's brought as a sin offering every Rosh Chodesh. And he explains, Vilokasha Mincha Kodshe Shah.
Is this according to the opinion that it was on Rosh Chodesh?
Correct. This only works according to the opinion that this took place on Rosh Chodesh. Correct. If we're not working with that, you'd probably say it was the Seir Chatas that the people brought that's mentioned in the previous chapter. Yes, I think that is the debate here. And Sirashi points out, Mincha Kodshe Shah, he, Varasha Hoysa, Ba Shetocha La'odidim. He says if it was a kachim just for that time, in other words, it was a one-time sacrifice, right? In other words, the mincha and the shlamim, for that matter, were one-time sacrifices that were brought for the occasion of the dedication of the Mishkan. And therefore, because they were a one-time sacrifice, so therefore the halacha was chetecha la'onanim, the onanim can eat it. About sayer shorosh chodesh, kachay dorosim. But the goat of Rosh Chodesh, that is Kadshe Doros, that's for all generations. That is a regular sacrifice. Umosha Kisha Katsaf, and Moshe got angry, he made a mistake. Kisavur, he thought, Kevinchen Shemati Heter Aninus Bemincha, Huodin Lachatas. Moshe thought that the same rule applied for the Mincha and the Chatas. Vamar Lo Aaron, Shema Dafka Kadshe Shah, Shemat Vahodolo. Maybe only Kadshe Shah, the one time sacrifice that they were allowed to eat. Or they were commanded to eat, but the regular sacrifice they shouldn't eat. And in fact, this is what Rashi on Chumash writes. And he says, Yesh Omrim, Mipnei Aninus Nisraf, that Aaron burnt the meat, the Chatas meat, because they were Onanim. Shehu Katshe Doros, the Baba Katshe Shah, Samcho Amoshe, Shamalahem, Bamincha, Vechlu Matzos. But we can't take the Kadshe Shah, just the one-time sacrifices, they relied on Moshe, who said, by the Mincha, eat the matzos. So they ate the matzos, they ate the shlami meat, but not the regular one. So why should there be a difference? Why should there be a difference between Kadshe Shah and Kadshe Doros? So I'll just share with you three different opinions. So the Rashbam says, Hei yom ikrivu es chatasav es olasav. So the Hi ha'ola v'chata shel Aaron u'banav. So Aaron said, listen, we brought the ola and the chatas, because, right, that was the personal sacrifices. And the children helped him. And then if you look, and Aaron said to him, v'chein amar Aaron, lama katzafta al-banai, why do you get angry at my children? Halo ha'yom hazeh ikrivu ani u'banai korbanoseinu shenischanchu bahem l'avoda. We brought the sacrifices that were designed for the avoda. And in the midst of this greatness, this grand day, we had this calamity. How could I eat the korban chatas of kadshei doros? That our happiness has been completely decimated. Dugmas aluva kala shezinsa beker chupasa. This is like a bride who engaged in infidelity during her chuppah. In other words, you can't. How can we bring this korban chatas, this regular korban? It seems what the Rashbam is saying is that to bring the shlamim and the mincha, those are like formal requirements. That you had to do the avoda, you had to do these rituals on the day that the Mishkan was set up or finally set up, that it was dedicated. You had to do that. But the regular Kadshe Doros requires a certain element of simcha. And when you don't have that element of simcha, of happiness, because of this disaster, then you can't bring the korban. That's the way the Rashbam understands it. The Sforno, I think, to me at least, has it a little bit different, which I think resonates more with me. The Sforno says, he says, "Hayta b'nei Hashem shenochal kadshei doros ba'aninus." Is it fitting in the eyes of God that we should eat kadshei doros ba'aninus in the state of aninus? Halo davar yaduahu she'ein achilas onen b'kavana ra'uya l'chaper. He says that, isn't it known that if an onen eats the korban, it cannot serve as an atonement. You can't eat korbanos when you're in a state of aninus. V'afal pi shetzivisa shenocha banir semincha shehi katshisha lo yischayiv zeh b'katshidoros. Okay, even though we're commanded to eat the katshisha, the one-time sacrifice in the state of aninus, you can't do it with katshidoros. Why? Because what's the goal of the katshidoros, of the regular sacrifices? They serve as an atonement, to serve as kapara. You cannot achieve atonement when you are in a state of aninus. A little bit different.
What's the difference? I don't see the real difference between the two.
Right. So it seems to me that the katshisha were like formal requirements that you have to, when you set up the Mishkan, there's a formal requirement, and I guess the kavana, the intent, the mindset of those who are bringing it are not as critical. It seems the way why this is so, I'm not sure exactly. It just seems that that when you set up the Mishkan, so you have to follow these rituals, these rules. But it seems that with your regular sacrifices, they require a certain mindset by the Kohanim. And maybe, I mean, the Sforno says very explicitly that the purpose of the Korban is to achieve kapara, to achieve atonement. Every Rosh Chodesh, we have to bring a korban, at least the way Rashi explains it, it's the Sir Chatas, it's to achieve atonement. Could be, you can say, maybe the korbanos that were katshei sha'a, but basically it's to honor God, that we do things to show honor to God. What your particular mindset is irrelevant. But when it comes to the irregular sacrifices, so the regular sin offering is the regular goat that's brought on Rosh Chodesh, that's to achieve kapara, to achieve atonement. So in order to achieve atonement, the ones who bring it have to have a certain mindset. That's why that's so? Why not when you honor God with a new, one-time sacrifice, you don't require it? I'm not sure, but that seems to be the distinction he's making. The Rav Hirsch writes also, he says that this Kohanim had committed this horrific sin that deserving death. That there's this major gap between the Kohen, the reality, and the moral vision that's expressed in their korban. It seems almost as if God says, when you're dedicating the Mishkan for me, God, you gotta bring these sacrifices, like a sacrifice to God, sacrifice to me. But your regular sacrifices, where you're trying to achieve something, in your regular sacrifices, you're trying to get something out of it. You need to be in a certain state. And the first is like, how can we just sin? The Kohanim just sin. How can we actually bring a korban, which is trying to achieve some kind of whatever goal we're trying to achieve? We're not fit to do that. It seems almost as if when it came to the one-time sacrifices, they had to be brought by Kohanim. But it seemed that the regular sacrifices are about creating a relationship between man and God. And when you're not in a state of simcha, when you're in a state of aninus, so you can't achieve kapara, the relationship, or when you just committed this sin that's deserving the death penalty, you can't have that relationship, which is critical, it seems, for the regular sacrifices. So that's why it seemed that there is this distinction. It's interesting, right? We would tend to think, that the one-time sacrifices are special; they require more of a kavana. And we're saying it's the opposite. It's the regular sacrifices that's really about the relationship. The regular mundane sacrifice is about the relationship between us and God. That requires our full kavana, our full state of simcha. The one time...
Can you say maybe it's like, there's a view that Yom Kippur is mechaper, even if you don't do tshuva, or it's just a day is mechaper.
Right, the day is right.
Okay, it's similar.
Yes, I'm not even sure if I'm going there. I'm not even saying that they're bringing it so much as a kapara.
No, not a kapara, but it's like a special thing.
Special day,
like,
right. It's a ritual you have to do.
No need it. Like, yeah. Yom Kippur is a special day. This is also like something special. You don't really need your mindset, because that's the way it is.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is. So I think we can understand Moshe's anger in one of two ways. So on the one hand, right, on the one hand, I think that, you know, Moshe says, Suasha Dibir Hashem, he tells Aaron, you know, Bikrovaya Kadesh. And he says, Moshe, according to Rashi, Moshe tells Aaron, you know, I know that this bias was going to be sanctified with someone. It was going to be either me or you. Now I know that they're greater than you. He's trying to comfort Aaron. But maybe Moshe is a little anxious. You know, you could look at Moshe's reaction of anger, not as anger, but maybe as anxiety. And you could look at his anxiety on a personal level, and you could look at his anxiety on a communal level, a national level. See, the Moshe, what does he say in Perek Yud Pasuk Vav? Remember Moshe Aaron, Elazar Itamar Banav, Rashechem al Tivra'u, Vigdechem al Lo Tivrobu, Velo Savusu. You got to make sure, you got to go on with the show. Why? So you don't die. Moshe might be, and you might say, oh, Moshe looks so bad, he's so insensitive, and he doesn't allow them to mourn. Maybe he's actually nervous that if they don't go on with the show, they will suffer the same fate as Nadav and Avihu. So he just saw, okay, they offered a strange sacrifice. They did something that God didn't command. So now Moshe is nervous. If they don't follow exactly what God said, it's going to happen to them as well. It's such an honor to be a Kohen, but there's a big price to pay if you don't do the right thing. So you can look at Moshe's concern for Elazar, for Aaron, Elazar, and Itamar, as he's concerned, actually, that they, if they don't go on with the show, they're going to die. Now, again, God commanded him, you got to do the mincha. And so Moshe's like, oh, if you got to do the mincha, you also have to do the, you also have to eat the you know, the chatas. Moshe did not make that distinction between kadshei sha'a and kadshei doros, because he wasn't thinking, because he was so anxious. You could look at Moshe, people look on the surface, oh, he's so insensitive. No, just the opposite. He wanted to make sure that they didn't mourn, which might have led to their deaths. And then Aaron tells him, no. God never commanded us with the Korban Chata. So instead of Moshe looking at this insensitive individual, he actually is very sensitive to the life of the rest of the children, to make sure that that what happened to Nadav and Avihu don't happen to Elazar and Itamar. That's on a personal level. Perhaps also we can say on a communal level, for that what happened right after Moshe comes down with the Luchos, Sarah said Dibros, Moshe goes up to get the Luchos, but Israel sit. And the big question is God going to come back to them? That's the big question. Yeah, he commands them to build the Mishkan. But it's not so clear. And immediately after fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice, and the people are, you know, they say, God has returned because a miracle happened. Fire consumes the sacrifice, and God has returned to the people. What happens? Nadav and Avihu die. This day of celebration turns into a day of devastation. And so Moshe has this kind of balance, right? It's personal versus the national. That's always a difficult question. How do you balance that? Rabbi Sacks explained the debate between Moshe and Aaron is that Moshe demonstrates that Aaron, of course, says, you know, we lost someone. We lost a child. We lost children. We lost brothers. And so Aaron was focusing on the human component, and Moshe was focusing on the emuna component. I think Rabbi Sacks says it, that the courage of Aaron is the courage to grieve and to mourn and to be human. And the courage of Moshe Rabbeinu is the courage to have faith and not to be paralyzed by loss. And that was the tension between Moshe and Aaron, is when do you grieve and when do you, when do you focus on the national component? And it's tough. And in Judaism, we have to balance those two values. of being human and being Jewish. A time to stop and grieve, and a time to move on, have faith, and not be paralyzed by loss. And we and the way that we balance these two different types of courage is through halacha. Halacha is the balancing these two different types of things, and you actually think in terms of death. The Rav Soloveitchik has pointed out that when someone loses a relative, they're in a state of aninus, and they're not obligated to perform mitzvos, because how can they perform mitzvos? They just lost a loved one. That's the courage to be human, and they're exempt from mitzvos. And then as soon as they bury the deceased, they were somehow charged to have faith and to observe mitzvos and say Yiskadav, Yiskadash Be'erabah, and to say God is great despite the fact they lost a loved one. Halacha is trying to mediate between these two balances, the courage to be human and the courage to be Jewish, which was the debate between Moshe and Aaron in this instance. So again, you know, you can look at Moshe, oh, he doesn't care about the people, he only cares about on with the show. I would say it was a struggle for Moshe, either on a personal level. He cared for the life of Elazar, Itamar, and Aaron, and says, if you don't do the ritual, this might be the end of you. I don't want what happened to Navi to happen to you. Or also, you could say that this was a tension between the courage to be human and the courage to be Jewish.